Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears rotten fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruits, you will know them." The Gospel of the Lord. For the last 2.5 weeks, we have been listening to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, showing us who we are, who He is, how we're supposed to live. These last 3 days of this 17-course meal focuses on Jesus' conclusions, where He's helping us to look at the whole of what He's taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, as well as the whole of His teaching, and to live it. So yesterday, as you remember, because you live off every word that comes from the mouth of God, He talked about the treasure that we've received, and don't throw it before swine, don't waste it. Treasure it. Preserve it within, just like Mary, who takes all of God's word and puts it together, tessera by tessera, into a huge mosaic. That's what it means, that she pondered in her heart and held on to it in Greek. So we're called to take everything that the Lord gives us as a precious pearl, summarized by thinking ahead to do unto others as we would want unto us, which requires planning. What do we want to happen to us? Jesus is describing the types of behavior throughout His teaching, and that what He's asking us isn't a popular way. It's a narrow gate, but it is a gate that leads to life. In this second installment, Jesus talks about false prophets and true prophets. That if someone is really living Jesus' way, you're going to tell by the person's fruit. But on the surface, it might not seem that way. There are all these scandals that come up every once in a while, in which people who seem to be holy have been discovered to be living a double life. Jesus is saying, be patient. Don't just look at the outer garments. Look at the real fruits. And what are the tests for the fruits? The fruits are going to be what He describes here. Somebody really a person of Beatitudes? Does somebody really live poor in spirit or live high on the hog? Does someone rejoice when persecuted or want to be most popular? Someone genuinely pure of heart or is someone really complicated? Someone a peacemaker, or someone a person who comes on in and constantly creates a raucous? Jesus is telling us the types of fruit we're looking for. Someone a salt to the earth? Does someone give off light? Or someone bring heaviness and darkness into a place? A good tree bears good fruit. The key for Jesus is not the fruit. Key for Jesus is the tree that naturally bears good fruit. To be a tree like that, we need to enest ourselves into Jesus the vine. We heard in the Alleluia verse today Jesus' words from John 15, in which He describes the vine and the branches. Remain in me as I remain in you, because whoever remains in me will bear much fruit. To be a good tree means to be ultimately united with Jesus. And He gives us His word, the incredible treasure, to bring that about. By your fruits you will know them. By our fruits we will likewise be known. Are we bearing that fruit? Sometimes we can look at ourselves and not see any fruit. We can self-assess as a barren fig tree. We've got to get beyond that. If we are truly bound to Jesus within, we will bear fruit, not necessarily right now, but long term. Sometimes the Lord really wants to nourish that fruit in secret so that later there is a real harvest. The key is, are we attached to the vine? The first reading today, we see one of the episodes in which the people of God rediscovered their faith. The entire sort of salvation, the entirety of salvation history in the Old Testament is God gives the gift of His law. People take it seriously for a while, and then they begin to blow it off. And then God medicinally allows them to suffer the consequences of not living in communion with Him and others. They start suffering these invasions from the outside. It's a hard, hard lesson. But then they come to their senses and they return and they renew the covenant. Most famous of all of these, of course, is when Ezra and Nehemiah do it after the captivity in Babylon. But today we see the high priest Hilkiah do it with all the elders of Judah and the king himself. The entire contents of the book of the covenant, Pentateuch, was read, that had been found in the temple of the Lord. Standing by the column, the king made a covenant before the Lord. The king wasn't the boss. God was the boss. And the king and all the subjects were going to be subjects of the Lord, that they were going to keep as a treasure all that the Lord had revealed. In response to their plea, "Teach me the way of your decrees, O Lord," the Lord had already responded. For us, we're constantly renewing that covenant. Every day, Jesus gives us His word. But we need to receive it and say, like was said multiple times in the Old Testament, all that the Lord has said we will do. When we really insert ourselves into the word of God this way, we will bear fruit. What starts to happen is the way we think about things now gets filtered through the Word of God. The very way we talk changes as the Word of God percolates up and God's Word becomes even our Word because we're speaking more and more like God speaks. We're thinking more and more like He thinks. If we're really going to be attached to Jesus, who is the vine, we're going to be living His holy word. That's what He's been trying to say throughout these last 2.5 weeks. Tomorrow, as you know, the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' image of the rock, that the truly wise person is the one who hears His words and does them. That's compared to a person who has built a life on the rock, so that when the storms come, as they inevitably do, we will still be strong, still bearing fruit, even in the midst of a hurricane. St. Cyril of Alexandria, whom we celebrate today, was somebody with this type of intrepid faith. It would probably scandalize your sisters if you really read the whole biography of St. Cyril, because St. Cyril was living in a very violent time for the faith. You know, they had already gone through the Council of Nicaea, they had gone through the First Council of Constantinople, and there was still heresy everywhere. He was a fighter, and he would fight for the honor of Our Lady. He was the superstar of the Council of Ephesus, which declared Mary Theotokos, not just Christotokos, the Christ-bearer, but because Christ is one person with a human nature, and that person is the God Man, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. She couldn't just be mother of His human nature, but had to be mother of the person who was God, so Theotokos. It wasn't easy, and he battled. He used all the skill that God had given him in order to make sure that the faith was passed on accurately. He received this strength because he lived in the Lord. When everybody was conspiring against him, he remained strong. Because he had a tremendous teacher, and that teacher was Our Lady, who shows us what a true prophet looks like, who shows us somebody who is attached always, almost umbilically, to the Son of God, who bears fruit in every season. Today we turn to her, we turn to Saint Cyril. We ask them not to teach us the ways of the Lord's decrees, but to intercede for us so that we might be great students of the Master who teaches us still. Praise be Jesus Christ.